Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
And today's date is December 10th, 2020.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. In case of an emergency, you can text Dan on his cell at 316-619-4886. You can always find the updates with the breaking news about the Wichita Mission Church and the radio program archives, and all of our contact information is at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Okay, folks, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube, some FM stations, so pray. Please pray about sporting airtime.
Okay, let's thank our listener bases in places like Kyiv, Ukraine, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, Vancouver, Canada.
Okay, stop a second. That's Kyiv, just for the record, so you know. That's Kyiv. I don't know what that one is, but Kyiv, Ukraine. I don't know what K-Y-I-V is, though. But go ahead.
New York, San Jose, California, and New York, New Jersey, and Wichita is back in the number one spot that has the most listeners. We're going to post later tonight.
Okay. All right. And by the way, folks, please send us an email or text to my phone. Either way, email the radio at messiah.org or text to my phone. Let us know where you're hailing from. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Okay. Now, a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, and Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight comes out according to your will, Father. And thank you for this season, the Festival of Lights, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen and amen.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. Okay, well, let's have the song, and then we will get on the program.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17. 26.
Then the days of Noah keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought. Forgetting about the flood, in anger he once fought. The spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. Some just think of money and how to get some more, but little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught, and their soul forever down. put your trust in wealth, you've lots to fear. For the distant thunders are rumbling and the storm is almost here. You must put your trust in Jesus, for he's our today. When the storm of darkness comes, in him you will be saved. Yes, the spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling him of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find.
Well, we are definitely in God of Noah. And that doesn't... Excuse me, folks. I have to adjust my sound setting just a little. Okay, if you're hearing silence, folks, that's because of me, and I had to change my sound settings a little bit. Okay, are you hearing me over there? I hope so. Testing 1, 2, 3. Well, folks, if it ain't, it's going to be the way that it is, and that's the way it is, and it's going to be that way for this program. So I pray that it works out. Anyway, the test, first off, happy Hanukkah. It's getting dark. This is the first day of the Festival of Lights, and that's when the true light came in the world.
When Yeshua was conceived, right?
When he was conceived, right? You're getting old, you know.
He was conceived during Festival of Lights, and then he came to Tabernacle among us on Tabernacles, first day of Tabernacles.
Right. And folks, this one just asked me if don't we light candles tonight?
Yes, we do.
Yes, of course. How many, you've been lighting candles on Hanukkah for many, many years.
23 years.
Yeah, that's when we started keeping it. But anyway, meanwhile, back at the ranch, as my mother would say, not my wife, my mother. Anyway, Texas.
Did it again, yay.
Well, yeah, amen. They were even talking about succeeding over there. But anyway, Texas filed a lawsuit, and that looks like our best bet right at the moment for Trump reclaiming the presidency for another 4 years. Then 22 states so far have joined him in that lawsuit, so that's a lot. People say, well, why would it matter? Wouldn't, if they discontinue the votes over there, wouldn't that disenfranchise the people that already voted? No, well, it may, but then you have 22 states that are saying the same thing. They have more people in those 22 states that voted than in those 4 states. So if you weigh it out according to how many people would be disenfranchised, well, 22 outweighs 4, in my opinion. But I do not know how.
In my opinion, everybody in the whole United States is affected by it because it's fraud and it's not correct and it's lying and deception, so the truth needs to be known. So, yeah, it does need to be. What happens when you lie and cheat? You get disqualified.
Okay, but the reason that I just said 22 states is because that's all the people that's the only ones that they will consider, you know, in the lawsuit. You know what I'm saying? So you have to go by legal things. Sometimes legal things just drive you crazy. Anyway, in this season of political unrest, the spirit of confusion is working over our circumstances, relationships, and emotional health. Yahweh's word said there's nothing new under the sun, and that's you can find it in Ecclesiastes 1. We can and should look at events from the past to give us prophetic insights for this season. Right now, the left is trying to change history, as they are fueled by unrighteousness, which, of course, is brought to us by none other than Satan, that old devil, which is the father of all lies. Hanukkah started tonight at dark, December 10th, and runs till dark on December 18th. It started with the account, Hanukkah first started with the account of the Maccabean result, which gives us keys to overcoming oppressors today. Well, I don't have time for it tonight, there is some scripture, prophetic scripture given by the prophets that points to the temple foundation being laid exactly on Hanukkah. That would be forthcoming. There's great prophetic significance in Hanukkah, especially for this time they're in. During the Maccabean revolt, 166 BC to 160 BC, a Hellenistic mindset influenced the culture. Hellenistic meant that was a form of a religion, but it's paganism. It's straight out what it is. A Hellenistic mindset infiltrated the church. Folks, don't you see all the paganism that's coming into the church? Yahweh raised up a remnant army to battle the oppressors, and they won. Look around you. You'll see this as a prophetic word manifesting today.
And the Hanukkah story. Okay. The Maccabees, a small Jewish rebel army, refused to allow the Hellenistic culture and system to infiltrate their faith. Antiochus the Fifth, the Syrian
ruler. No, that's the fourth.
The fourth? Okay. It's a Roman number, sorry.
What? Yeah, I before the V. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, anyway, Antiochus, the Syrian ruler at the time, outlawed Jewish practices and traditions. He even placed pagan gods in the Jewish temple, desecrating it.
Okay, stop a second. We can see that right now because the real temple of Yahweh right now is you. Go ahead, we'll talk.
Okay. The culture was overtaken by his Greek mindset, and sadly, so were many of the Jewish priests. The Maccabees refused to compromise. Okay, compromise. Tomato, tomato. Okay. They fought to queen out the pagan culture that had mixed with their own. By the power of Yahweh, this small army was able to overcome Antiochus' army and take back the temple. But that wasn't the only miracle. There was only one day's worth of purified oil used to light the temple menorah. They needed enough for 8 days. So they decided to move forward with what they had, relying on the Lord to provide. And he did. One day's oil lasted for 8 days. This is something many people miss about the Hanukkah story. As mentioned, many of the Jewish priests also adopted the Hellenistic mindset. So when the Maccabees fought, they were fighting only outside forces. They were fighting a civil war.
Okay. Let's go with this. You see, the enemy had infiltrated their faith. Oh, wow, that sounds like today. How much paganism is in the churches right now? And how many of our pastors have failed to run those pagan influences out today? Hanukkah was a foreshadow of what the Antichrist would do when he came and what our world would be like. And that's why we played in the days of Noah, because in the days of Noah, people had forsaken everything. Yahweh called the Maccabees to rise up as a remnant army. Yahweh's calling you to rise up as a remnant army, cleansing idolatry and entangled mindsets that were impacting the worship of the one true God, who was Yahweh. Yahweh raised up an army then, and he is doing so today. Do you hear that? If you choose to be, you're part of that remnant army. Idolatry is evident in our culture. As a nation, we've gotten away from the morals and Judeo-Christian roots which we were founded upon. We were allowed a Hellenistic system to take over. Folks, look in the churches. They have smoke machines, and they have huge entertainment things. It's supposed to be the Holy Spirit that drops you there, not, oh, wow, that church down the street's got a smoke machine and got great entertainment.
In the church, really?
Yeah, okay. They do that. Remember, we talked about how they even
had. I know the pole dancing, but I didn't know they had smoke machines, really?
Well, they do everything. They built them like a Hollywood stage or like they're having a rock concert. It's not a rock concert, you know? It isn't. Yeah, I like great praise and worship, but, you know, at some point.
Yeah, if you watch the Holy Bible, then it might be, but if it's music and dancing and poles, then it's not.
Right. Well, and where is the word that's supposed to cut you to the bone? Sadly, it's infiltrating the church. It already has. It's time we rise up and tear down and clean out distorted values that have crept in and mixed with the culture of our faith. These values that have crept in is why we're in the place that we're at right now. And you lay this at the doorstep of the church. That's why we're like we are, because the church lost its salt. It's not standing against the evil things, but is compromising and going on. Rise up, Bride of Yeshua HaMashiach. Rise up, both men and women. Stand for the truth. Do not compromise. Do not join the devil's army. We are in a holy battle, and for we are in that time of the end.
Go ahead.
Okay, we are called to be priests, kings and priests. We're called to see Yahweh's kingdom first and above all things. The only way to do that is to seek Yeshua HaMashiach, the light of the world, the true light that we are celebrating tonight that came into the world as he was conceived on this night. And yes, it's biblical, and yes, you can show it in the Bible. Go over at Pastor's Page, you can see some links that will lead you to those things. Anyway, this is the true meaning, the true time, during the meaning of the Maccabean revolt is very true today. Though the Maccabees fought, the priesthood and the temple, their faith were transformed. They threw out the pagan things in the temple. Will you help do that, folks? That was placed in there by the one who was a foreshadow, which is the Antichrist. They rededicated the temple of Yahweh as believers. Each one of you must do. You might say, Pastor Dan, there is no temple. So how can I do this? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the living God, Yahweh? Yeshua HaMashiach resides in your heart. His spirit, the Holy Spirit, is supposed to reside there. He won't reside there if you have uncleanliness. So therefore, stop compromising the world as Satan is the God of this earth. Throw his things out of your hearts and minds and very souls. Join the battle that's raging all about us. Do not accept the ways of this world. Accept his ways and his ways only. Did you have something to say now?
No, I thought you paused for me to read like I always do when you pause, and I just was going to read, and then I thought, well, that's not my color, so
sometimes I have to have a breath of air. Okay.
So this is mine. Do not accept abominations such as same sex as normal. Except, therefore, Yahweh gives life and decides what sex we are when with a he or she on high makes, and he makes, he on high makes no mistakes. Exactly. He knows who you are when you're the little, I won't say it on air, going to the other, and they meet into the.
When the sperm hits the seed. And it creates light.
It's a spark. It says it.
Yeah. What says it is scientists have now proven that.
Right. And it's light into the world. There you go. There's a baby.
Right.
And that's when you become a human being.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay. Do not accept false prophets. Do not accept pagan celebrations. Pray. Get right now while you still have time.
Many believe that our Messiah, the light of the world, was conceived on the Festival of Lights, Hanukkah. The Bible does not specifically say the date of Yeshua's birth, but it was not during the winter months because the sheep were in the pasture, and that's in Luke 2:8. A study of time and the conception of John the Baptist revealed he was conceived around Sivan 30, the 11th week, and that's in Luke 1:8, 13-14. Adding 40 weeks for a normal pregnancy reveals that John the Baptist was born on or about Passover, and six months after John's conception. Mary conceived Yeshua, and that's in Luke 1:26-33. Therefore, Yeshua would have been conceived 6 months after Sivan 30. Point is, he would have conceived at the Festival of Light. There's greater detail that if you break this down, will prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was conceived during Hanukkah, and he was born on what day?
Tishri 15.
No.
First day of Tabernacles.
Feast of Tabernacles. Yeshua HaMashiach, the light of the world, was conceived on the Festival of Lights starting on Hanukkah, which begins on Kislev 25. It continues for 8 days, counting through 9 months of Mary's pregnancy. One arrives at the approximate date of the birth of Yeshua HaMashiach at the Festival of Tabernacles. So, yes, tonight and the next 8 days, we celebrate Yeshua HaMashiach, the one true light that came into the world. Now, you were saying earlier, you were talking about, and the what was made flesh?
The Word. Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Who is the Word?
The Word is Yeshua HaMashiach.
And so the Word changes not. So he was born on the... He came in tabernacle with us. He was born. But you don't see, life came. We should be celebrating right now.
What?
And we are. Okay. Hanukkah is Hebrew for dedication or rededication. The name was given for the festival because of the 8 days it took to rededicate the altar and the temple and make it holy and sanctified once again. In Exodus 29:37 and 2 Chronicles 7:9, it states that it takes 7 days for the altar to be consecrated, and then it can be for use on the eighth day. What happens on the eighth day, by the way?
Boy, you caught me off guard. What happens on the eighth day, Hanukkah?
When a baby's born, what happens on the eighth day?
That gives me the clue. They're circumcised.
They're circumcised on the eighth day.
Circumcision.
Anything I can do to throw her off is helpful. Folks, if you have any ideas, send them to me.
He likes catching
me
off guard.
You can text me if you want. Anyway, so, Yeshua
kept Hanukkah. In John 10:22-23, it states, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Yeshua walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Hanukkah.
That's Hanukkah. Well, amen. So, tell them where they can find us. We'll go to a break. We'll come back and see if we can have some more fun.
You can find all the mission updates, all about the Mission Church, and the radio program archives, and all of our contact information, and that's at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
So.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Father, thy word is true, a gift of love from you, a faith you chose to see your children through. So take me by the hand, walk me through this land. Holy Spirit, lead me closer to you. The day you wash my sins away, you died again. I put my trust in you, and you call me friend. Your grace is sufficient for my life. It fills my every need. I know your love for me will always be. Savior, oh, what a friend, life with you's everlasting, your praise my heart will sing. Jesus has paid the way for all to be saved, even those that lost their way in sin. Vision for the weak, your word we must speak. It's a lamp unto our feet to guide us home. The day you washed my sins away, new life began. I put my trust in you, and you call me friend. Your grace is sufficient for my life. It fills my every need. I know your love for me always be. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a friend. Life with you's everlasting. Your praise my heart will sing. Your praise my heart.
At the time of creation, God ended his work after 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day.
At that time, he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, made it holy. The fourth commandment, written in stone by the finger of God, states that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord and instructs us to rest on that day. The only honest conclusion that can be drawn is that Sunday, the first day of the week, cannot possibly be the Sabbath. Could the days of the week have been changed over time? Is the time from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown really the seventh day? A careful study of chronology reveals that even though calendar changes have occurred, the order of the days of the week have stayed the same. The Julian calendar, originating in 46 BC, was replaced with the Gregorian calendar in 1582. What took place is that 10 days were taken from the number of the days in the month, not the number of the days in the week. Friday, October 5th, became Friday, October 15th. Calendar changes did not alter the days of the week or the order of the days. One must also remember that it is only necessary to check the calendars back to the time of Christ. He certainly knew which day the Sabbath was, for it was Jesus who created all things and instituted the observance of the Sabbath day. Yes, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan and
Linda Catlin.
And you're listening to the Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, we left off with that scripture from John. Repeat that scripture and we'll go on into our...
Okay, John 10:22-23. And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. And Yeshua walked in the temple in Solomon's porch.
Okay, and Solomon's porch is a part of the temple. Okay. Yeshua taught from the themes of Hanukkah. Excuse me. It was a tradition that the Hanukkahs would be lit and put in windows facing the street and in doorways to opposite the menuzahs, so the miracle of Hanukkah would be broadcasted throughout all of the land wherever they were in the world. This light was not to be hidden. Listen to what Yeshua teaches about this.
Luke 11:33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and they which come in may see the light. Matthew 5:14-16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Yeshua is the light of the world. John 8:12. Then spake Yeshua again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And I thought Yeshua spoke in Matthew 5:14 that the disciples of Yeshua were the light of the world. John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Torah is light. Does Scripture tell us that the law or Torah is light in the darkness? Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, because there is no light in them. It is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 51:4. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make a judgment to rest for the light of the people.
Yeah, amen. And a lot of people say, well, you're not, and Yeshua also said you don't have to broadcast your good works, you know, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does, but in the same light, we do have to let our light shine. That's a question of pride, and it's a whole teaching on it. You are supposed to let your light shine. Hanukkah is a time of letting your light shine. It's also a time of rededication, a time to reprioritize your life and to share the gospel and bring your light of the Torah to the nations and to your family and to those around you. For the Torah is life. Yeshua is the living word.
Okay, First Corinthians 6:19. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of Yahweh, and ye are not of your own? We are not to be hidden or ashamed of the truth that is in us, but just as the Hanukkah is a light and put in plain view for all to see, so are our lives supposed to be lived out for all to see. Maybe your light has been observed but obscured by life's challenges, or perhaps belief has a blanket over your light. Now is the time to rededicate your Hanukkah to rededicate your life to Messiah.
Yeah, so if you say, why don't you Hanukkah, that's telling them it means rededicate. Because that's what it means. It's rededicate. That's what it means. So if you Hanukkah, you're rededicating.
I just wanted to say something that was on my mind when you was when it was talking about bragging about what you do, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. For some people that might think because we do videos of what we're doing at the church, we might be bragging about what we're doing whenever we're not bragging about what we're doing. We're just making it known that the need is there and we need the support to do it, because we can't do it without the people. It's a totally separate. You know what I'm trying to say? It's not that we're bragging that we do the videos. We're doing it so that people see the need of the people.
Okay, well, let's go with this, and let me arrest your thoughts. And I addressed this on video the other day. Here's the point. Number one, they know we're a mission church. They know what mission churches do. But here's the point. That video, okay, Paul talked about going to other cities and explaining, and he sent messages to other cities explaining to them the need in the cities that he was in.
Right.
Because they helped one another in different cities.
And they had no way of knowing without a messenger.
Well, they had to send the messenger. We live in modern times. The video is the messenger.
Right.
That allows people to know what we're doing. And so, you know, if for some reason it spoiled a little bit of a blessing or something for me, I ain't after a blessing for me anyway. What I'm after is to get support for those people. Finally, you know what, we've been doing this for 21 years. You know, we realize we're going to start our 22nd year come June, okay? Anyway, and so here's the point. For all those years, unless we made a video once in a while on Thanksgiving or something, or sent an occasional picture, people that have supported us, mostly our support, does it come from Wichita?
No, it's by blind faith.
Right.
From everywhere else but Wichita.
Everywhere else but Wichita. So finally, after all those years, we started using the Facebook videos, because it's simple to do, and it's simple for me to gain a link and send out. These people that have helped us by blind faith all these years are now getting to see what we do.
Right.
You know, so it's a right thing. It's not a wrong thing. And we don't have to make excuses. The people that generally rail against that is people that there's a conviction in their heart because they aren't doing anything. And they say, oh, look at them people. They're bragging about what they do. Well, if you look at what their heart is and what they're doing, is probably real close to zero.
Right.
And so that's just something to shut down that which is good. You know what? I've said it so many times. I don't really care what the world thinks. I don't care what people say about me. You know, whether they want to start a rumor, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. That's not going to interfere with what I was appointed to do, what we were appointed to do. And folks, when I say I mean my wife too, because we are one. It's what we do. I don't care what the world thinks.
Right, and we don't have anything. Everything is the Lord, so we're the Lord's servants, and everything he provides comes from him, so it's all his. And so I don't care what they think either.
Yeah, It matters not to me at all. They can say what they want. So now is time to rededicate your life. As we were talking just now, you know, if we rededicate our lives, is your life dedicated to following Yahweh or gaining stuff? You know, what is your life dedicated for? To see how many toys that you can have before you die? You're supposed to be storing up treasure in heaven anyway. But to be in servants of Yeshua HaMashiach. And what is really sad, I see a lot of people that are older that could be doing things, volunteering or doing things, and they really don't seem to have, they say they follow Yeshua, and I'm not downing anybody. I'm just saying that they could, they need to get up and try to move and volunteer. I'm telling people, you know, if you're having a problem, if your health allows it, get out of the house and volunteer in a work. You know, to do something, do a physical action. Not only will you
get involved with your church.
Yeah, not only will it better you by getting you out of the house, but it will spiritually better you, and you'll feel better. You'll be blessed.
I know of somebody right now that's been coming to help us that has severely depression, and he's been able to completely get off his medication, and he says it helps him tremendously. Every time he comes, he feels so much better, and it's been 2 months.
Right, absolutely. And so, amen. And so I'm not saying this to get people to donate to us and all that. Yeah, sure, we need your donations. But that ain't what I'm talking about. Talking about people to get personally involved where they're at with something.
Do something for the Lord.
Get out of the house. Okay.
2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Messiah, who is the image of Yahweh, should shine unto them.
Should shine unto them. And it will shine unto you, but you've got to get off the couch. You know, being saved isn't just, okay, I believe and sit down. Being saved and believing in Yeshua is a faith thing. Get up off the couch and move. Don't let Satan, the god of this age, put out the light that is in you. It's time to let Yeshua, who is the image of Yahweh, to shine in you and draw others out of darkness. He was the light of the world when he was on this earth, and now we are the light of the world because he is in us. This is why we need to have an answer for the hope or light that is in us. It is not us but him. This Hanukkah, let the Shemesh or the Helper candle, the Holy Spirit, light the fire again that is inside of you, folks, brighter and hotter than ever before. The world is dark out there. It needs light.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for Yahweh, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh in the face of Yeshua HaMashiach. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are chosen as a generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shine forth or show forth the praises of him who have called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light.
Yeah, amen. So you have to let your light shine. Don't let people suppress you, and do it for him. Do it with the Spirit of, it doesn't matter what people think. It matters what Yahweh thinks. And you know what? He will recognize your weakness. In fact, the word tells us that in your weakness, he is strong and his light shines. Go ahead.
Okay. I didn't get the first part of that. The eight ways to serve Yeshua. 8 ways to shine for Yeshua. Okay, dedicate, number one, dedicate or rededicate your life to Yeshua as your Lord, Adonai, and Master. If you have walked away from him, then confess with your mouth and return to him. He wants nothing more than to restore you to a loving relationship with the Father. Sin and uncleanness separates us from the Father, but through repentance, we return to our Father like the prodigal son, and he covers us with a robe of righteousness. Yeshua's blood as a ring of authority and the seal of the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKadosh.
Right, so you have authority. You need to return. It's about the same thing. Rededication, return, repentance, it's all the same thing. That's what it means. Repentance means to change your mind, to return, to go back to what you rededicate or dedicate yourself. So if you dedicate yourself to Yeshua, there has to be a change. You cannot say that I repent and then still do the same things over and over. Yeah, so sometimes we slip and fall backwards, but then we repent and we move on. But you have to make that effort, and it needs to show. That's called a work. That work that shows naturally, that's a holy work that shows naturally from you when you're in Yeshua.
I've always believed in that if you feel like it's wrong when you're doing it and you shouldn't be doing it, then you're probably right. It's probably wrong and you shouldn't be doing it. And if you keep in mind that you don't, if Yeshua's going to come any minute, you don't want to get caught doing what you're doing, then don't be doing it because he could come any minute.
Here's the simple thing. If what you're doing doesn't glorify God, then you probably shouldn't be doing
right.
it. Right. Simple as that. Go ahead.
Okay, number two, study to show yourself approved. Get to know the one who created you and loves you and desperately wants to reveal himself to you. Like Adam in the Garden of Eden, the Father wants to walk in the garden in the coolness of the evening. The sages believe that it wasn't the Yahweh himself that walked in with Adam, but the word of Yahweh. And that Adam walked in intimately with Daniel 11:32 says that then them that know their Yahweh shall be strong and do great exploits. Just like the Maccabees who rededicated the altar in the midst of the tyranny.
Somebody walking in Yahweh can do great things. Look at all the changes that, for one, our president made, who is trying to walk in Yahweh in his spirit. But how do we get to know him? You do that in two ways. Lots of prayer, lots of talk. But you have to get into his word. And the word is Yeshua. And even it says that the sages believe it wasn't Yahweh himself because it says no man has ever saw him face to face. So it was Yeshua. And that's a whole other program. But, you know, it really is proven from the word. It talks about Elohim. And it talks about it in a pluralistic manner. You can tell that through the word, it's Yeshua. And by the way, Joel Richardson will be on next week with his book, and we're going to ask him about that because he does break it down really good. So you need to get into the word. That's your Bible, folks.
Okay, and number three, love your neighbor as yourself. The second greatest commandment is the one that draws man to the Father. John 15:12-13. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It is a kindness that the Father uses to draw men to repentance. But kind and remind, let everything you do remind others of the love and the kindness of the Father.
Right, amen. And that's a hard one because we're human beings, but we need to show his love and kindness.
Okay. Number four, give to the poor. Share the blessing that Yahweh has given you. As freely as you have received, then freely give. You can't outgive God, Yahweh. In fact, his promise is that the more you give, you shall receive the same measure. It is the Torah commandment to give to the poor. Deuteronomy 15:11. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto the brother, and thy poor, and thy needy in thy land.
Yeah, open your hand wide to your brother. We are supposed to care one for another, you know. And people talk about, you know, the homeless and things. You know, believe me, most people that are homeless don't want to be there. But the problem is after they've been there about 4 months or 5 months, they start to assimilate, and it's harder to get them out of it. So if you truly want to help somebody, and we were biblical, and we're taught Torah things, there's more things in Torah about it. You know, you're supposed to get your brother before he's injured by his poverty. So if he falls down, we talk about, let's say a good friend of yours loses his job. You know, you have money in the bank and he's losing his and he's looking towards losing his house. That's when you should jump in. You should jump in and help him sustain his rent and keep him from hitting the street and help him to find another way, means of supporting himself and his family. And that should reach out. It shouldn't be just your burden, but the congregation or whatever that you go around. In fact, old school, before the 60s, that's the way a church reacted.
Right.
So if they seen some, and most and churches were more neighborhood churches. You know what I'm saying? And so what would happen is they'd say, well, hey, Jim over here, he just lost his job. And say, yeah, I know it. So the congregation meets and they go, if by the time Jim shows up, because that was welfare, shows up and starts, or his wife shows up because Jim's too embarrassed to knock on the door of the church and ask for help. They say, come in. We are ready for you. Where's your husband at? Let's help him get a job. You know, here's some food. Not just wait till December Yeah, you see churches and people coming out of the woodwork in December to see how good they can do and how much, you know, you're supposed to do it all that time, not wait till, you know,
and
December.
They did still do that in the 60s. I remember as a child, my family, I came from a family of 10 kids, and I remember the first, I was a song leader and the daycare helper from the time I could, like 7 years old on up in the First Baptist Church, but I can remember food boxes and help with the rent and utilities, because kids overhear parents' stuff, and the church would always help my mom and dad with rent, with utility bills, and they'd bring food boxes all year round. It wasn't just at holiday time. We got food boxes all year round, so I know they did it in the 60s.
Okay, well, let me say this. Well, see, that's proof of what I said. It was about 57 or 58 when the church was created as a 501(c). And so by the middle 60s, then the churches started seeing, and then welfare came out right behind it, you know, early 60s or whatever. So then once those two things happened, the church saw a better way to get money, which was okay, but then they saw they didn't have to be the person that made the food box.
Right. They had welfare.
Because what? They had welfare. They had food stamps. They had all those things. So the church lost its salt. They moved away from doing that, what the church always did, and the church became something with big buildings and so on and so forth.
And that's
salaries.
Actually when morality started just fading away too. That's when they had welfare, that's when women would have more babies to get bigger checks, more babies to get bigger checks, more babies to get bigger checks.
And then the church also at that time, so when the women started doing that, the church also stopped preaching against sin. They started preaching towards name it and claim it.
Amen. That's when it started.
Rich, and it all goes back, all of this goes back to the door of the church that accepted the 501(c) and became politically correct. There's your
point. It has to do with politics. Imagine that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, number five, do not forsake the fatherless. Do you not know someone that has a broken home? Being an orphan or fatherless doesn't necessarily mean that they have to live in an orphanage. How many children do you know that are missing a father through divorce or death? This is a great opportunity to be a role model and to help fill that gap in the home. Maybe it's playing sports outside or watching a movie together. Maybe it's inviting them to church or synagogue or to your youth events, or maybe having a weekly Bible study. Ask the Father how you can help.
Yeah, amen. And ask, we're talking about ask our Heavenly Father. Anyway, be an example. Okay, yeah.
And
you don't have a lot of time.
And do not forsake the widow. Pure religion, James 1:27. Pure religion and underlying and undefiled before Yahweh and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. According to the Torah, a brother-in-law would step in as a husband and father if the husband of a wife died. In our society today, this does not happen. In so many cases, widows are left broken, needy, and lonely. Do you know of a family that has lost a father in combat? Help them in their affliction. We are commanded to mourn with those who mourn and to laugh with those who laugh. Bring groceries or cooked meal and be the light, listening friend with ears and arms wide open.
Yeah.
Number seven.
We don't have time for those.
Okay.
We're stopped there. We only got about 3 or 4 minutes left. So the point is to act in a godly manner, you know, and it does, one of them is let your work shine before men. They need to see that example, see? If you're acting like the world, then they're going to act like the world also. You know, you've got to set a good example. So that means letting your works and your light shine. You know, not going around bragging about it, but let it shine. Let it be known. Let people see that. Let them know that you're different so they can see Yeshua in you and therefore want Yeshua to be like you. You understand? So that's how that goes.
Yeah.
So now,
Two number seven, there was only eight, and that's one of the important ones there.
Yeah, in the evil day, a lawless abounds in religious circles and outside religion. You have to stand, it goes back to that, you have to stand for Torah, you have to stand for good examples, but you have to fight. You need to join this battle. You're supposed to be the light to the world. You're supposed to let Yeshua's light shine through you, and doing that is by following his commandments. and its commandments are good
important.
And pure.
Proverbs 1:15-16. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood.
Yes, so you don't walk with evil. What? Who do you hang out with? You can't hang out with the evil people, because then that shows them that you accept it.
Be not unequally yoked.
Right, amen. And so that sounds hard, but it's the truth. Okay, well, now we've got to talk about the Wichita Mission Church a little bit. Folks, you know, we've started getting more and more people over there. And so you had to do what? What did that do to your food supply?
I had to increase the food. I used to use 5 pounds of meat, but now I'm using 10. I used to use 2 cans of vegetable. Now I'm using 4. Everything's kind of like doubled.
Okay, let me back up to that. 10 pounds of meat, you mix it with something, right?
Right. I got to have the pastas. And that's another thing. Instead of like 6 things of pasta, I use 9.
Right. So you mix pasta and things to make things like beef and noodles or spaghetti and things like that. I don't want people to think that 10 pounds of hamburger will feed by itself.
80. We did 69 Tuesday.
Tuesday. Right, right. And so the point is, we do need your help. So that cut our food. We originally thought we had projected a little longer, but now food is getting shorter.
I got till the end of the year, maybe the first week of January or something.
Well, that's not far off. Today's the 10th.
Right.
So, you know, let's be clear. We're talking about 20 days before the end. So we need to get restocked. We really do need your help. So pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. And, of course, I always say, if you don't want to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime and all the things concerning with radio. And even though that we do not keep December 25th, we keep Hanukkah, we are open on December 25th simply because nobody else is open and they need food that day.
And concerning that day, I'm trying to do a traditional Jewish meal every December 25th, which is corned beef and cabbage. So if you want to help with that, it's pretty expensive meal, but it is a special day so for them. So we try to do that. If you want to help with that, just let us know.
Amen. You can donate online, over the phone, mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at proxyhour.com. And the Father noticed all donations, no matter what size they are, help. Back to, we mostly get smaller donations and bigger donations, but help. But the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart, where He resides.
Yeah, amen. Okay, you want to tell them goodbye? I know you don't have anything else to say.
Yeah, happy Hanukkah and shalom.
Shalom. Okay, folks, you must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for repentant sins, and He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through and in Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. Boys, remember to be what?
A blessing to others. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's like praying for Him is like praying for Messiah's return.
Okay. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, Yeshua, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, I pray that You would bless and keep them, and that Your face would shine upon them, and that You would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.